Good afternoon. It's 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Fine Food Friday. It's August the 2nd. I'm Brian Shields. Today it's farming, and we have three folks in the studio to take your questions. Delilah is the owner of The Berry Patch, a berry, vegetable, and cut flower operation in Steventown, New York. Delilah Riggs is here. John Joseph runs Greener Pastures Poultry. It sells chicken and eggs in Volusia. Finally, Kurt Gobrek breeds, raises, and sells pigs at Lover's Leap Farm in Kinderhook. If you have a question about farming, farmers markets, local products, give us a call, 800-348-2551. The number again is 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday on Vox Pop. Also emails voxpop@wamc.org. Your call's coming up right after the news. And welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in program. I'm Brian Shields. It's Food Friday today. We explore farming and some of the products being grown and raised right here in our own region. We have three guests all in the studio today. Dale Isla Riggs owns the Berry Patch Farm on Route 22 in Steventown, New York. Established in 1996, it is a 230-acre berry, vegetable, and cut flower operation. Dale is also the co-board chair of the New York State Berry Growers Association. John Joseph runs Greener Pastures Poultry in Volusia, New York. It sells chicken and eggs, all pasture-raised and fed 100% organic grain. And Kurt Gobrek started Lover's Leap Farm in Kinderhook, New York in 2012. It's a farrow-to-finish pig farm. It breeds and raises pigs to sell to local restaurants and at local markets. The Berry Patch has been a longtime vendor at the Troy Waterfront Farmers Market. Greener Pastures Poultry and Lover's Leap Farm are found at the Kinderhook Farmers Market. They're all found here today, 800-348-2551, the number to call, 800-348-2551. You can tweet your questions and comments, WAMC Vox Pop, email us as well, voxpop@wamc.org. Again, the number, 800-348-2551. Dale, Isla, John, and Kurt, thanks for coming in.
So glad to be here. I love doing this show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, great to be here.
Let me start with you, Dale Isla. What brought you to the berry business?
Oh, good question. My background in college is plant science and international agriculture and horticulture and adult ed, so a bachelor's and master's degree in those. And after working for a while, I just decided that I had lots of ideas of how to provide great, wholesome fruits and vegetables to folks, and had an opportunity to come up to buy some land and get a farm started. So I started my farm from scratch, basically built it up out of a worn out old cornfield. Mm-hmm. And with berries in particular, I had always done berry research in college. My master's was actually a specific question about strawberry production. I had worked for a professor that specialized in berry production when I was going to the University of Vermont. And who doesn't love berries? You know, it's like, how can anyone mm-hmm. turn down a local strawberry, a local blueberry, a local raspberry? So it's a crop that just about everybody wants.
John, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Tough one. For us, the chicken.
Yeah. What got you into that business?
Well, my fiance and I just both have a deep interest in farming, particularly regenerative agriculture, with the intent to build topsoil and create sustainable systems for the farming ventures. Chickens were an easy first step, low infrastructure and sort of an animal that you can handle on your own. It's not like a pig, as Kurt knows. They're not, they're not dangerous or particularly difficult.
Pigs don't wake you up at 5 o'clock in the morning, though, like roosters, huh?
That's true, yeah. No, they're just... they're great animals for a beginning farmer, I think.
And Kurt, what got you into the pork business?
Well, that's a long story, but to keep it brief, just saw an opportunity with a landowner to take over some old orchard and reclaim that. And most of our 60 acres is overgrown orchard and woodlot, and the pigs are really just the best animal to help us work through that area and bring it back to its old glory.
800-348-2551. It's 800-348-2551. We've got our first caller from Jennifer. Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, go
Hi.
Ahead. In Steventown.
I have two questions. My first question is about berries. I have 5 1/4 acres, and there are blueberries, blackberries, red raspberries, black raspberries, blackberries, all growing wild across the acreage. There's also a berry I have that I'm not familiar with. It looks like a blackberry or a raspberry, except it's much smaller, and it's growing low to the ground, about the same height as the wild blueberries, the little plants. I have no idea what it is, and wondered whether you had any idea.
Dale, Isla?
Are you sure it's not a black raspberry?
Because it's not a black raspberry. The canes aren't really big like the black raspberries. They're really small canes. They're really short, and the berries are smaller and shaped like blackberries are, in that they're much longer than they are in diameter.
Okay. My suspicion is that it's a different species of blackberry. There's several different species of blackberry. Some are trailing, some are not. Some are very upright. And I am wondering, with all those other berries on your property, if maybe, do you know if people that owned the property before you had planted different types of berries?
Yeah, I have no idea. It was a rental property for a number of years before we bought it, and this is we're still in our first year there. So this is, I'm learning what the land has.
Yeah, I suspect it's just a different species or different variety of blackberry, and that it's a trailing type. I used to live in Oregon, and there were lots of trailing blackberries out there. So I think it's probably just a different type of blackberry.
Okay, I didn't know there were different types.
Oh, yes.
Really, other than...
Yep. Lots of different types of blackberries, lots of different types of raspberries, lots of different types of blueberries, et cetera.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you very much for calling. It's 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Dale, Isla, I think berries are probably like mushrooms. You got to be careful what you're eating. You don't want to pop. Are there any poison berries you got to look out for?
I'm sure in the wild that there are. Yeah. I know growing up, I was always admonished to never eat the wild honeysuckle berries, mm-hmm. or the honeysuckle berries that were around our house that are actually an invasive species. Lonicera is an invasive species. And the honeysuckle berries that you might find on bushes out in the wild right now are a favorite breeding ground for spotted-winged Drosophila, which is an invasive insect pest. It's a real problem for berry growers nationwide, worldwide now. Just like anything else, there's certain things, if you don't know what it is, don't try it.
800-348-2551, the number to call. You can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Kurt, I'm not in the market for a pig these days, but if I was, what should I look for?
My pig.
What's that?
The heritage pigs that we raise, we have a variety of breeds, Berkshire, Large Black, and Tamworth. They tend to have develop a more of a porky flavor. So you're going to get more flavor, a deeper, richer, robust flavor that comes from the heritage breeds.
So all pigs are not created equal?
Definitely not.
All right. And John, you use 100% organic grain. What's that about and what's the difference?
We get the grain from Stonehouse Farms, which is located off in Red Mills. And the difference is that they aren't able to use many of the harmful chemicals that are often put into grain production. There's no Roundup resistant corn, there's no Roundup resistant wheat. It's all non-GMO and chemical free.
And are all chickens created equal? Do they make different types of eggs?
Many different types of eggs. There's brown eggs, white eggs, blue eggs.
Blue eggs?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What's
for Easter?
Yeah. What's the difference, I mean, between the eggs and the brown? We see the brown and the white usually in the store.
It's actually kind of a funny misconception that brown eggs are healthier. There's no nutritional difference, but they look more natural.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no difference other than aesthetically.
The number to call, 800-348-2551. Rupert in Red Hook. Rupert.
Hi, how you doing? I saw a headline from June this year, struggling farmers fear being plowed under by increased costs, which pose a disadvantage in competing with farms outside of New York based on a new farm labor law. And I'm just, if you all have labor and this bill that passed affects you, I'm curious to know what your feedback is and if it's actually going to have any impact on the small-scale farms that you operate, like the issues of overtime being paid even if workers don't work because it rains all week, or unemployment insurance and workers' compensation now being have to pay. These apparently are really freaking out these small farmers. Is that you guys?
Yeah. How many staff do you have? Do you have tractors, equipment, that kind of thing?
Everyone's looking at me.
Well, you're the berry queen, so
need many hands to pick the berries.
Yeah, this bill is absolutely devastating for small and medium-sized farms like us, especially for berry growers, where, as I testified in the Senate hearings around the state and wrote to Governor Cuomo about, I have to make 70% of my income in 8 weeks or less. And 100% of my income gets made in 4 months or less. So a 60-hour week is not something that's workable on a berry farm. You know, the other day we started to pick, and then it started raining after 2 hours. We were done for the day. You can't pick berries when they're wet, or you should not pick berries when they're wet. So this bill is absolutely devastating for people, for people that rely on a lot of hand work. I think one of the other things that has been overlooked is that, at least in the Senate testimony that occurred, most farm workers did not want this bill either. They don't want to have their hours limited, and at least in our operation, it would mean paying anytime we would exceed the threshold for overtime, I would wind up paying $20 an hour or more for somebody to pick berries. And I live 200 yards from Massachusetts. I market a lot of my berries in Massachusetts. They don't have this law. So how can I compete with somebody in Massachusetts, literally 200 yards away, when I'm having to pay over $20 an hour over 60 hours a week, or if a worker voluntarily works on their day off, versus somebody that's paying $12 an hour? So it's devastating.
All right. Thank you for calling, Rupert. A good question and some good answers there as well. 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday Vox Pop. More calls, more questions in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers, and blends, specializing in garlic and hot pepper blends, rollingrocksalt.com for upcoming events. Del Mar Farmers Market, featuring local and organic farm products, baked goods, and fair trade crafts every Saturday from 9 to 1 at 332 Kenwood Avenue, delmarmarket.org. The Stagecoach Tavern at Racebrook Lodge, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Live jazz brunch on Sundays, fireside dining and overnight packages, hiking, yoga, live music, campfires, and more, stagecoachtavern.net. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. And Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, pekarskys.com.
And welcome back to this farming edition of Vox Pop Food Friday. We're joined by Dale Isla Riggs of the Berry Patch in Steventown, New York, John Joseph of Greener Pastures Poultry in Valencia, Kurt Gobrek of Lover's Leap Farm of Kinderhook. 800-348-2551. Email your questions, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the phone number, 800-348-2551. And Dale Isla, you got another berry question from Nancy. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. It's not a question. I just heard your first caller out trying to figure out what her little blackberry was on the ground. And I think she's talking about describing a dewberry. We always call it a dewberry.
That's a possibility. I'm not real familiar with dewberries, but that is something that I've heard of. That's a possibility. I didn't think of dewberries as being black, but It might be.
They have a blackberry leaf, and they're sort of like a ground cover type plant, and they grow right where wild blueberries would grow also.
Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551, Barrett in Monticello.
Yeah, hi. Monticello has a farmer's market, but it's very small. And so I would like to know, do you do mail order? Because I would love to be able to get some of those fancy pork breeds and the chicken, the organic chicken. So how could I possibly do that?
You guys online? Do you sell over the internet by phone?
We do take custom orders through the phone or email or text message. We will do local deliveries, and we will do custom shipping too. We don't do a lot of that,
okay,
but we will do that.
Who is this that'll do custom shipping?
That's Lover's Leap Farm. We'll ship our pork.
And what about the chicken people?
At this time, we generally operate through on-farm pickup, and we do have people come from a little further away to get that chicken. It's because people will buy in bulk and then freeze it for their sort of monthly consumption, or in some cases yearly. At this time, we do not do shipping, though. Maybe someday, though.
Thank you very much for calling. It's 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Yeah, let's talk about the farmers markets. You're all involved with farmers markets. What are they like? How important are they? Why don't we start with you, Kurt?
Yeah, well, so the Kinnerick Farmers Market, it's probably one of the quaintest markets in the area. It's in a very historic village square in Kinnerick. It has about 24 vendors that rotate. Some are permanent, but others come and go. The great part about our farmers market is that it's the size is manageable. You go there, you can really interact with the different vendors. There's food, there's live music. It's really about the experience, and it's not just about picking up some vegetables.
And to Dale Isla?
Oh, as a member of the Troy Market, it's just this fantastic market. You know, a lot of people come and they'll spend the whole day there. You can shop, I always say the only thing that you need to go to a different store for is Kleenex and paper towels. You can get anything you absolutely need for just these phenomenal meals at the Troy Market. The atmosphere is wonderful. We have over 100 vendors this year, and I can appreciate Kurt's comment about the manageable size with the 24 in Kinderhook. For people that really want to do shopping and not have the experience of the farmers market, come to Troy like at 9 o'clock when we are allowed to start selling. But it's just this fantastic daytime activity, and it's made a huge, huge difference for our farm. Absolutely vital.
And John, you bring chickens and eggs to the
farm?
We
bring eggs to the market. Yeah. We may start bringing chickens soon. Like I said, we're mostly on-farm pickup right now. Yeah. But the market is hugely important. It serves as a great outlet for just getting started. And there's many very useful exemptions built into farmers markets that allow small producers to get a foothold before jumping into higher infrastructure operations.
Dale Isla brought eight types of blueberries, which I didn't know existed, but she says there's even more than that.
Yeah, on our farm, we actually grow 16 different varieties of blueberries to have as long a season as possible, from early season to late. And just like with strawberries and raspberries, there's hundreds of different varieties. So I brought these, and I thought it might be fun for people to do some taste testing.
Sure.
There are different flavors in the different varieties, and for those of us here in the studio, you can see the different sizes. The smallest ones are a variety called Northland, which I think are nice for muffins and pancakes because they're smaller, and they're probably, they're a little bit smaller than dime, which is actually pretty big for this variety this year. Going up to a variety called Aurora, which I'm holding one in my hand.
That's a big one.
That is huge. And I also have, this is a sack of, oh, nope, that's a quarter. Here's my Sacagawea dollar to compare the size. and it's the same size as a Sacagawea dollar coin. Not quite as big as a Kennedy half dollar, but almost there. So I encourage all my colleagues here to try some of these. And
thank you.
Do you have a favorite?
I like them all. They, you know, a fully ripe blueberry is just an amazing fruit. And I just did a delivery at Honest Weight before coming here to the studio. And I'm unloading my car, and one woman stops me and she goes, "I gotta say, I've never liked blueberries, and my partner had me try one of your blueberries, and oh my gosh, these are the best blueberries I have ever had in my entire life. I didn't know blueberries could be so sweet."
And they're very good for you, I understand.
Absolutely. They're full of antioxidants, and I don't have the numbers right off the top of my head, but the antioxidants that blueberries have, they're one of the highest fruits. I think maybe only currants are higher. All sorts of great health benefits from eating lots of blueberries.
800-348-2551, the number to call. Email your questions today on Food Friday Vox Pop at voxpop@wamc.org. But the lines are open, 800-348-2551. Kurt?
Yeah, I just tried that Spartan blueberry, and that was the sweetest blueberry I've ever had.
Yeah.
They're normally kind of bland, for the most part, not really a shock of the sweetness, but these were quite nice.
Yeah, there's a couple differences. You know, most blueberries that you find in the supermarkets are shipped in from out of state, so they've been machine harvested usually, and they're grown on these massive blueberry plantations, which is fine. Ours, we have a half acre planting, and the plants get lots of TLC. But the main difference is we spend a huge amount of time with our pickers teaching them how to tell the difference between a ripe blue blueberry and an unripe blue blueberry. Because even though it's blue, doesn't mean it's ripe. And the way that you can tell the difference with most of these varieties, not always, but where the blueberry itself attaches to the stem, when it's truly ripe, you will actually get a little blue ring on the stem itself. And if it's not fully ripe, that stem will remain green where it's attached to the berry itself. So our pickers take longer to pick them because of it. They're being more careful. But it makes a huge, huge difference. And I have all sorts of people say, "I never knew blueberries could be sweet."
And John, you brought in some egg products with you. What would you bring?
We have some chicken soup here made with our bone broth and chicken. We have fried eggs and some chicken breast.
In America, it seems like eggs are for breakfast, but not really.
I mean,
they should be for everything.
They go on everything. Yolk is the perfect sauce.
Yeah. 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Email your questions, voxpop@wamc.org, or even tweet them and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. But again, the number to call is 800-348-2551. And Kurt, you brought in some stuff as well. It smells great.
Yeah, I was keeping the bacon at the bottom, but
never put the bacon.
Yeah,
at the
I did
bottom.
Some maple glazed pork chops. I brought two kinds of bacon, a all natural and a cured. Mm-hmm. Some sausage, and then some City Beer Hall is making a K-Town BBLT, which is our pork belly served on grilled bao buns with crispy, chubu sauce, arugula, fried kimchi, green tomato, and a yuzu mayo. And that's, you know, I'm not a big chef. I like to do simple grilling, but I thought I'd bring in something a little more flavor.
Boy, it sounds great. You said cured. What's cured mean?
So, you know, the majority of the bacon that you get out at the store or at the diner is going to be cured with nitrates and nitrates. And those are preservatives. So it's basically a way to make it last longer on the shelf. It brings out the color, too. And it gives it a kind of a saltier flavor. Mm-hmm. A natural bacon would be just cured with just salt and water and a little bit of sugar. And that's smoked, but it doesn't contain the nitrates and nitrates.
And the smoking process, did you put it in the smokehouse? Is that how you do it?
Yep. We use a custom butcher out in Canaan, and they do our smoking for us. It's all USDA inspected, so we can wholesale that. So they have a smoker, and they do all of our processing there.
800-348-2551. It's 800-348-2551. You brought some chops, too, I think, didn't you?
Yes, the maple glazed chops. I used Mort's maple syrup. He actually does a bourbon barrel maple syrup. And so you just threw that into a cast iron pan with a little bit of mustard. And, you know, it's a really quick and easy cook job because it's about 10 minutes searing it. And then you take that glaze of maple syrup and mustard and just pour it right on top and spoon it on and finish it off in that cast iron pan.
Wow. 800-348-2551. Mary in Albany.
Hi. Earlier when I turned on the radio, it sounded like somebody was asking about honeysuckle berries. Well, there really is a berry called honey berries. They're also called hascaps. They grow all the way up to Alaska, and they look like an elongated blueberry, and they're supposed to taste similar, but not like exactly like a blueberry.
Yeah, I actually know some of the growers in Minnesota that are growing the hascaps, the June berries.
Yeah, I wish somebody around here would have them. I'm anxious to try them.
I've had jam made out of them. I've never had them fresh before, but they are a great fruit crop to grow for people that are in really cold climates, like Minnesota, like Northern New York, like Alaska. They do have the same issues with production that the other berry crops do. The spotted wing Drosophila, the invasive insect pest that is such a problem for berries, goes after them, the honey berries as well. But they made really nice jam, and they are extremely winter hardy. So I do recommend that if people want to grow some fruit crops, it's a great berry to start with.
Yeah, because I'm so interested because blueberries used to be my favorite fruit. I loved them. And somehow my taste has changed, and now when I eat blueberries, they taste metallic to me. So I don't enjoy them anymore. So I was hoping the honey berries didn't have whatever that is.
Yeah, I wonder, now do you get that sensation when you're eating local blueberries or you're just ones that you're getting at the supermarket?
It's so sad.
That is sad. Yeah.
But thanks for your time. And I was hoping you said, oh, yes, I know someone who's growing that nearby. Oh, well.
All right. Well, thank you for calling, Mary. It's 800-348-2551. How did Maine ever corner the market, or so they believe, on blueberries?
Well, you know, Maine blueberries are the wild blueberries. Mm-hmm. So their soil type is such that the wild blueberries grow naturally there and in what are called the Pine Barrens, where sometimes pine forests were cut down and the soil is very acid, so the wild blueberries are a native crop. So they're just managing what are already wild stands of blueberries versus our blueberries. We're growing the high bush blueberries. And I think it's just the soil type and the type of topography in Maine is really conducive to the wild blueberries being grown instead.
Let's talk next to Carol in High Falls. Carol.
Hi. Speaking of blueberries, if I can't get organic blueberries, I'm wondering if it's better to eat the blueberries that are sprayed that you buy in a store, regular store, or frozen, or just not to eat them.
Oh, you're always better off eating berries. And I actually just want to address the thing about organic blueberries. Organic blueberries do not mean that they are no-spray blueberries. Because of this invasive pest, spotted wing Drosophila, most berry growers that are selling commercially do need to spray. Our berries at the Berry Patch, we are not spraying because we're the first growers in the country to use this exclusion netting system. So we have actually enclosed our entire half-acre planting of blueberries with this incredibly fine mesh netting, and we're actually excluding this invasive pest. So our blueberries are no spray. But organic berries nationwide now, especially the ones being shipped in, often are being sprayed once a week for this invasive pest. So organic doesn't mean no spray, but non-organic doesn't mean that they have been sprayed necessarily.
That's interesting.
But you should always eat berries. The health benefits far, far outweigh any risks of how they might have been produced, whether they be organic or non-organic or non-certified or certified, whatever. Always be eating your berries.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. It's 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. 888-348-2551. Donna wants more information on each of your farms. Donna, go ahead.
Yes, I'm loving the show, but I'd like to know where each farm is located. I missed that at the beginning.
Okay, John, why don't you bring yours up first?
I'm located in Valencia, which is near Kinderhook.
And the berry patch is...
Which farm?
I'm Greener Pastures Poultry.
That's the chicken, okay. the chicken and egg place. And Dale?
Okay. The berry patch is on Route 22 in Steventown, and I'm at the Troy Market every Saturday.
And Lover's Leap Farm is on Route 9H in Kinderhook.
And we're both at the Kinderhook Farmers Market.
In Kinderhook.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. My granddaughter is a huge bacon person, so I'm very interested in getting some of that bacon for her. Some of the natural stuff without the sulfites and nitrates.
Yep, you
Thank
can find
you
us
very, very
every
much.
Saturday at the Kinderhook Farmers Market, 8:30 to 12:30.
Just look for Martin Van Buren. 800-348-2551 is the number to call. We'll have more calls on Food Friday Vox Pop in just a moment.
Support for WMC comes from Big Elm Brewing. Tap room open Thursday through Sunday, noon to 7 p.m. Crafting ales and lagers in Sheffield, Massachusetts since 2012. BigElmBeer.com. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Big Y, family-owned and operated market with locations throughout the Berkshires, celebrating more than 80 years of serving communities throughout New England. BigY.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer, offering organically farmed wines from around the world, wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. And Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, outdoor market with over 100 local farms and food vendors every Saturday, 9 to 2, on River Street with live music and children's activities, troymarket.org.
Pardon me, I'm chewing bacon at the moment, but it is delicious. Kurt just gave me some bacon, and what is this again?
That's the K-Town BBLT from the City Beer Hall, and that's the pork belly.
That should be illegal.
Yeah.
That is too good to be true. We're getting some emails. Jennifer, for Kurt, can you tell me about how your pigs are raised compared to the life of grocery store bought pork?
Oh, what a difference. You know, the confinement industry, I won't dwell on this too long, but it's basically pigs in cages in factories. They don't see the daylight. They don't get to root around in the dirt. And the way we do it is really the pig's natural habitat is in the woods. It's outside. They rarely want to sleep indoors unless it's cold out during the winter. So we really we allow them to be always have free 24-hour access to outdoors to be raised up, and they get to be natural, stick their nose in the ground, root around, look for good things to eat, and be out in the sun and flop around in the mud when it's too hot out too.
And John, we have one for you. I am breeding chickens and wondered if there was a source other than retail for feed. I'm just starting out. I hope eventually to sell my birds and hatching eggs, but trying to make the operation profitable is going to be tough with retail prices for feed. I also plan to sell pasture-raised eggs as well, in addition to blue, brown, and white. They also come in green. So first of all, the feed question, how expensive is it, and what are some of the alternatives?
You can find, if you're looking for organic feed and you're near enough to it, Stonehouse Grains is located in Red Mills, and I'm getting organic broiler mash for around 42 cents a pound. It fluctuates a little bit, but if you're not concerned with organic, they also have non-GMO, which is, I don't have that price memorized, I believe it's closer to 28 cents per pound. Otherwise, I don't really know. That's
okay.
My main source.
And there are such things as green eggs, and that of course leads to Kurt, who's going to bring the ham, right? The green eggs and ham. There are green eggs.
They are very marketable around Easter, and for the rest of the year, they're just oddly small. I would love to incorporate them someday, but I don't have a use
for it. Do we have a natural prejudice against anything but white eggs? I mean, we expect eggs to be white, and if we see green, we think, well, it must have gone bad.
Basically.
I mean, it's too bad.
They're beautiful, though.
Yeah. All right, let's see. This one, I would like to put in a couple dozen red raspberry plants, but the ground is sand and currently covered by an incredibly tough rooted grass. Could I start preparing this year? And is there a particular type that is good for this kind of production? It sounds like a tough soil.
Yeah, preparing it this year would be great. What I would suggest is putting down some heavy-duty black plastic or landscape fabric to try to kill out that grass right now. Cover it at this time of year, and when it's not getting light, that will eventually help the grass die out. Sandy soil is actually quite good for raspberries. It's much better than having a heavy clay soil, so it sounds like you've got a good site. So just get that grass killed out by smothering the light source, basically. And then be sure you take a soil test. You can send it to Cooperative Extension. They'll do a soil test for you to help you figure out what nutrients you might need to add, in what quantities, how much compost, things like that. And there's lots of different raspberry varieties that do very well in this area. You should decide if you want to grow summer-bearing raspberries or if you want to grow fall-bearing raspberries. There's lots of varieties of each. So go for it.
800-348-2551. Jerry is in Rensselaerville. Jerry.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of questions. The first is regarding the Lavisteria. I have Tartarian honeysuckle growing like weed on my land, and I hope to establish some high bush blueberry. I actually have some native high bush growing, but I wanted to get some red. I'm wondering if just clearing out, how far away does the Tartarian honeysuckle have to be cleared for it to be safe near high bush blueberries? And the second question, I'll make it quick, has to do with Saskatoons. My land is covered with the native surface berry, and as it's an amelanchier, I'm wondering if there are local Saskatoon growers around here, and how do Saskatoons do in this area? Thanks.
So my understanding is Saskatoons do quite well. I think that Cornell is doing an actual variety trial of Saskatoons, I think somewhere lower in the Hudson Valley. Amelanchier is, you know, certainly a viable berry crop for this area. As far as clearing out your honeysuckle, et cetera, you're not going to be able to clear it out far enough. This invasive pest, spotted wing Drosophila, comes in from, well, we don't know its entire life cycle, or I shouldn't say life cycle. We don't know how much it overwinters here and how much it reproduces in the wild, but research at Cornell has shown that it is reproducing quite a bit in the wild. But they fly long distances, and more importantly, they will get blown long, long distances in thunderstorms, etc. So trying to clear out the native bushes, while it's good from the aspect of getting rid of invasive species of non-native plants, as far as a way to control spotted wing, it's probably not going to do very much for you. The thing to do is to do what I've done on my farm, which is exclude the insect and prevent it from accessing your crop.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Another mouthful of food. Right as he call, right as the end of the call. This is really delicious. All of this is so wonderful. 800-348-2551. Let's see what's up with Sharon. Sharon, go ahead.
Yes, I had a question about early on you indicated that the products from Lover's Leap Farm were at local restaurants. I was wondering where we might be able to taste those.
Sure. We currently are selling to Malcolm's in Schenectady. That's on Union Street. We are at City Beer Hall, occasionally at Cafe Capriccio, mm-hmm. New World Bistro. We're down in Columbia County, in Hudson at Kamea, and Gaskin's down in Germantown, and the Flommery in Kinderhook. So there's a couple different options through the Capital District in Hudson
Great.
Valley.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That is true farm to table, I guess, huh?
Sure, absolutely.
800-348-2551. An email from Evelyn and Dean. What are your practices for pest control? We have a 60-plus-year-old orchard of over 1,000 bushes that has never had a drop of pesticide. These past few years, we've been battling cherry fruit worm and cranberry fruit worm. We've treated with BT regularly, but the pests are winning the battle. Could you please weigh in?
Yeah, the cherry fruit worm and cranberry fruit worm can be an issue for blueberry growers. Again, we are battling it by using exclusion netting. So we get our exclusion netting up early enough that the flies are not able to access the fruit to lay their eggs in them. If you've got those berries, you've also got spotted wing Drosophila, I can guarantee it. That will come in a little bit later. A few of the berries sitting here probably have a few cherry fruit worm and or cranberry fruit worm in them. But it's understanding the life cycle and knowing when the adults are out there and getting a barrier put up so that they can't access the fruit early enough. That's how we do it.
All right. Thank you very much. 800-348-2551 is the number to call. And let's talk to Carolyn in East Junction, Vermont. Carolyn. No, I'm sorry,
Hello?
Rupert. Who have I got here? Carolyn or Rupert? No, I've got Carolyn. Go ahead.
I'm Carolyn.
Yeah.
I grew up in Western Mass and used to go blueberry picking in a cow pasture with my family. And they were big, tall bushes, but they were tiny berries. Are those still around? I don't like big berries.
Certainly, there are certainly native high bush berries out there. We actually have a few up in a field behind our house, and there are some areas where I've heard of there being good stands of native high bush blueberries. I think I've heard that Grafton Lake State Park, there's a fair number up there. So they are certainly out there still. I think more of the issue is getting there before the bears and the birds get them. But they certainly do still exist.
Okay. Just great. So I could buy a plant somewhere?
You would need to talk to some of the nurseries. I'm not sure if they are selling the native high bush or not. I'm not sure the native high bush are being cultivated for sale. I think it's more finding a good stand of them somewhere and hopefully establishing a relationship with a landowner that maybe you could transplant some.
Cool. Well, I'll see if I can find out where they were originally. It was a long time ago. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for calling. It's 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Let's see, another email, this one from Kathy. The low-growing berry is common around here. It is dewberry. Related to blackberries, there are three common species. The most common one in New England is the northern dewberry, which grows rapidly and fruits at the same time as blackberries or blueberries. Ever heard of the northern dewberry?
It's not something I'm familiar with. I guess I'm just too busy working on my own farm to get out in the woods and the fields much to see them.
And another email. Let's see. I have two blueberry bushes, a few raspberries, and lots of strawberries. They do well every year and produce a lot of fruit. Just as the fruit is starting to ripen, chipmunks, squirrels, and birds always clean me out. I've tried netting and fencing, but they always find a way in. Any suggestions? Yeah, and not to mention the deers as well, the deer.
Yeah, again, it's getting yourself a solid enough enclosure. And like what we did with our planting is we have both post and wire for a support structure and then some metal hoops that we drape our netting over. But then I actually have enclosed the entire perimeter with an eight-inch wooden baseboard that we attach our netting to. Anywhere where there were gaps in the ground, we filled in with gravel so that the insect couldn't get underneath. Mm-hmm. This year, we've been having wildlife wars in that rabbits decided to start chewing their way through the netting. And so every day we've been going around and repairing where the rabbits have been getting in. It's been quite the year. But it's being vigilant, it's getting some traps out there and getting a fine enough netting that some of these larger mammals can't get through.
John, any foxes out there looking to get a free chicken?
We've been incredibly lucky this year, no predator attacks. Mm-hmm. For the laying chickens, which do not have a roof over their head at all times, it's actually a hawk issue.
Hawks? And wow.
They're fairly vigilant. They see the shadow and they run for cover, but we do have to keep an eye out and maintain a presence.
And Kurt, do pigs have a predator?
No, we're lucky that they are big enough and strong enough to.
They kind of got a temper, don't they, pigs?
They have a good fight in them.
Yeah.
So if you want to wrangle one, you better be up for the fight. We have a lot of coyotes. Occasionally, I did see a mountain lion come through a couple years past.
Really?
But I think in the wild kingdom, they can smell the strength of the pig and avoid. Avoid them and go for the rabbit, I guess.
Is it true that pigs are pretty smart? I mean, I heard that they're not dogs or dolphins, but they got a pretty good brain.
Yeah, they're
up
smart
there.
Enough. I mean, our 600-pound sows could walk right through our fence, but they're smart enough to stick around because they get the food and fresh water. And
that's intelligent in my book.
Yes.
800-348-2551. Let's talk to John. John, go ahead. Niskayuna.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have two quick questions, two quick topics. One is maybe a follow-up on some of the other questions we've heard around blueberries. I am planning to plant some blueberries next to my house, next to my orchids, or in my asparagus bed. So any thoughts or input or suggestions on blueberries, high bush, low bush, whatever. And the second topic, if you have interest, is I'm also interested in blue orchard bees. They're the native bee. I have got a couple bee boxes that I built out at a couple different farms, and I'd love your thoughts on that as well. Thank you.
Okay, so for the blueberries, the main thing is get a soil test done first, because blueberries are an acid-loving crop and will not do well if the soil pH is above 5.5. You want to have it be between 4.5 and 5.5 for your blueberries to really thrive. So you really want to have your soil amended and at the proper pH before you stick those blueberry plants in the ground. And I always think it's nice to get a couple different varieties, early season, mid-season, late season, so that you've got as long a season as possible. We start picking blueberries in early July and usually finish in early September, unless it's a super hot year and they come in faster. So get yourself a couple different varieties. And I always recommend getting some really hardy varieties. In Steventown, we go down to minus 25. So when I chose the varieties for my commercial planting, I made sure that hardiness was one of the major attributes that I looked at, and then looked at things like fruit quality, size, seasonality after that. So, because if they're not going to make it through the winter, there's not much point in planting them. So that was question number one, and I'm already forgetting question number two.
This will get used to your thoughts on the blue orchard bee, the the local, the native mason bee.
Well, certainly. Certainly anything you can do to enhance bee habitat is a great thing. In our blueberries, we are just inundated with the native bumblebee in the spring. So it's bumblebees that actually do most of the pollination in blueberries. Honeybees don't have a long enough proboscis to fit into the blueberry flower to do the pollination, whereas bumblebees will grab hold of the blueberry flowers and vibrate them, and that's what makes the pollination occur. But anything that you can do to enhance bee habitat is a wonderful thing.
Thank you very much for calling. John, wherever there are chickens, there's a rooster. Where do you buy your roosters?
We actually don't keep roosters into their adult maturity. Any roosters that we have are going to be market weight by 8 weeks, and at that point, the hormones haven't kicked in for them to really look or act like a rooster. Uh-huh. If they did, then there would be an off flavor to the meat. That's why.
Okay. Well, let's keep this G-rated if we could today. All right, we got time for maybe one more call. John and Canaan.
Hi.
Hi.
Is there a effective strategy to protect my peach trees from a hungry bear?
Ooh, from a hungry bear. I would say an electric fence, a really strong electric fence. You know, the beekeepers are putting electric fences around their beehives because the bears are going after the honey in the hives. And if they can keep a bear away from a hive full of honey, I've got to believe an electric fence could keep them away from your peaches.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. You want to be careful with an electric fence, I think. How much of a charge do you need?
That's don't
know. That's for an electrician? Know. Okay. Kurt?
Well, most of our pigs are contained with electric fencing, so we keep our fencing around 2 to 2.5 volts or 1,000 volts.
Yeah.
So I think for a bear, you're going to look for about 4,500 volts to really zap them enough to not go back.
We are just about out of time. My apologies to those people we left on the line. And thanks to our guests, Delilah Riggs of the Berry Batch, John Joseph, Greener Pastures Poultry, and Kurt Gobrecht of Lover's Leap Farm for joining us today. Thank you all for coming in. A great, great, great show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Delicious as well.
Thank you.
800, support for WAMC comes from Argyle Brewing of Greenwich in Cambridge, supporting the Turning Point Festival. August 3rd, joining in the celebration of the Turning Point Parade's 25th year, argylebrewing.com. Egremont Village Inn, presenting Julia Gottlieb and the Jazz Quartet, Friday, August the 2nd. Saturday night, Elizabeth and the Catapult. Sunday night, J.P. Harris with Pat Lennon. EgremontVillageInn.com. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts. A food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department, made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and a salad bar, and a bakery. RiverValley.coop. Our engineer today, Rob Chacon. Barb King took your calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. Thank you for joining us on Vox Pop on Monday, Medical Monday. Stay tuned now for Best of Our Knowledge.